Before we go on to the next part, I do have a few things I want to share with you in the Word as we're getting ready to usher in yet another new year. 2020, I was just saying to somebody earlier, you know, when I was a kid, 2020 seemed like the crazy distant future. And I thought, everyone thought we'd be flying in flying cars, you know, in 2020, surely. Well, it hasn't exactly worked that way, has it? But there are many things that we make New Year's resolutions about when we come to this time of the year. New Year's resolutions. Maybe you've made some resolutions yourself. What kind of resolutions have you made? Anybody want to? What is it? Very good. My resolution is to proofread all of Ying Ji's PowerPoints next year. I made all the ones for tonight, so it's all my fault. I gotta be honest. My resolution is being honest this year. So what kind of resolutions have you made? What kind of resolutions do people typically make? That's a typical one, pretty much. Yearly, you can count on that. Be nicer, perhaps. Healthier. Okay, spiritual goals, reading the Bible. I know Jennifer's been going through the house already, clearing out old stuff and putting it in the garage. But then we've been noticing everybody's doing the same thing, so sounds like people are cleaning out clutter in their life and getting rid of old things. Stop buying useless junk. That's a good one. Stop buying useless junk. Okay, I found some things from a website called Statista.com. This was the top 20 New Year's resolutions made in 2019 in the U.S. What do you think number one is? Coming in number one. At 71% vote or polled this one. Okay, these are all good ones, but the number one was to diet. Can we have that up, Yingji? Is it up there? I don't. Whoa, you're showing all of them? We can't show one at a time? Okay. Diet or eat healthier, 71%. Exercising more, 65%. Losing weight, I guess being healthier isn't necessarily the same as losing weight or even exercising. You might be skinny already, but you want to be healthier, right? Number four was at 32%, save more and spend less. Financial, you know, resolutions. Number five, learn a new skill or hobby, 26%. What do you think is number six? Eat more? Is that your resolution this year, Kristen? These are good things, but this wasn't a church poll. This was just all American poll. So those are good resolutions. Huh? No, it's not on this list. Number six, quit smoking. I think a lot of people, not you guys, of course, right? So, but a lot of people, you know, resolution to quit smoking. Read more. Find another job. Drink less alcohol. And spend more time with family and friends. Kind of sad that's only 13%, but diet and eating better is 71. Anyway, these are the top 10, and maybe you have other ones that you can add. And these are good and worthy goals, and there's nothing wrong with setting some goals or making some of these resolutions. I want to share a verse with you. Maybe you know this verse. In regards to exercise and things, the Bible says this in 1 Timothy 4. Okay, read it with me. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Okay, notice it says, first of all, bodily exercise has a profit, right? Is it good to exercise? Of course. It's good to be healthy. It's good to be strong. The more healthy and strong you can keep yourself, the more value, the more useful you'll be to the Lord. So it's not a bad thing. We eat well, eat carefully, keep ourselves in a good physical shape. But it says it profits a little. Why? Well, you can be in great shape. And how long does it take to get out of shape? Very quick. Okay? I don't know. I don't have a time in mind here, but it's very short. Just a few weeks of letting it go, and or letting your diet go, or letting your exercise routine go. Suddenly, it's just so hard to get back in shape again. And you've all been there. I know you have. That's just the nature of things. It's limited. You can be training for a marathon and do a good job, but you can quickly get out of shape and lose it completely. And it does not stop you, no matter how good a shape you're in, it doesn't stop you from aging, does it? Everyone ages, the years go by, and eventually our bodies get very old and say, enough. Okay, so no amount of physical exercise or healthy eating changes that aspect. And so this is what this is saying. It's limited. It's of value, yes, but little. But what is valuable? What is valuable? Godliness, spiritual things, drawing close to the Lord, obeying the Lord, and letting Him do His work in your heart, in yielding to the Spirit. These are things that are of value. Why? Because it's not limited. It's not short term. This is preparation for eternity and what God has in store for us. And these are the things that we hold on to. These are the things that we focus on. So tonight I want to suggest to you the following resolutions. Feel free to add on your own. Okay, the weight and the exercise, and if you need to stop smoking, stop smoking. These are good decisions to make. But let me add on just a few for you. Write this down. Number one, restore relationships. This is a good resolution. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 1, Paul writes, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And here Paul is urging us to keep that unity. Gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, being patient with one another, keeping the unity in the Spirit with one another. So the relationships aspect is very important. Throughout the New Testament, we see number one is our relationship with God, but always mentioned in relation to that is our relationship with people. Love the Lord your God, love your neighbor as yourself. They're always together like that. Have you been hurt? Maybe. Maybe this year you've been hurt. Most likely somebody has hurt you. Said something, done something unkind, thoughtless. Maybe it's someone that you're really close to, husband, wife. Maybe it's your children, your parents, family members. Maybe it's somebody that's not very close to you, work people, colleagues, things like that. But you've been hurt. How do you respond when someone hurts you? Let me give you just three ways that we respond. The first way that we can respond is to overlook it. Overlook it. Consider this verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. He says also, do not take to heart everything people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. For many times also your own heart has known that even you have cursed others. You get that? What Solomon's saying here is some things, let it go. Don't take to heart everything that you hear. Lest you hear someone saying something unkind about you, because keep in mind, you've probably done the same thing to other people. And so there are times that you can let it go, like they say, water off a duck's back. You don't have to be offended by everything. You can choose to let it go. Minor things, thoughtless things someone says to you, it doesn't have to take. Have you ever known somebody who is taking offense regularly? They're always upset at somebody, and there's always a drama in their life. That's because they haven't learned this verse. They don't let anything go. And if you don't let some things go, you're going to be a miserable person, aren't you? You have to let some things go. Proverbs says in Proverbs 19, verse 11, the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. Can you overlook a transgression? There are times you need to. Sometimes, just let it go. It was thoughtless. It was just an unkind word. It was just a thoughtless word. We all do that. And as Ecclesiastes said, sometimes you've done it, if you're honest. And so let it go. It's not a big deal. That's one thing that we can do. The second thing, though, we can do is to be quick to forgive. Paul writes in Ephesians 4, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. There's a time to be angry. The Bible doesn't condemn all anger. What we have to be careful of is allowing anger to continue and then letting that turn into bitterness, letting it set. I mean, if someone comes up and does you wrong, if they've stolen something from you, for example, you have the right to be righteously angry. That's sin against you. Okay? But what Paul is saying here is be quick to forgive. Don't hang on to it. They may never find the person that stole from you, for example. And if you can't let go of that, you let it set, it can eat you up. Be quick to forgive. Your relationships, something unkind said, you can let it go. If it's just a word said unkindly, and you can let it go. But if it's something that really is a difficulty, a problem, you can deal with it, but make sure you don't let the sun go down on that wrath. Quickly forgive. Thirdly, have healthy boundaries. It's not wise to set yourself up for abuse over and over again. Jesus commanded to turn the other cheek when someone strikes your cheek, right? But that does not imply that you are just to continually be a punching bag for everybody and go back and let them strike you again and strike you again and keep going back to the same place. Jesus and the disciples didn't model it that way. They didn't retaliate and fight back, but when they went into a city and they drove them out and tried to stone them, did Paul get back up and go back into the city and say, I think you missed a couple times? Oh, he went on. He went on and tried to find other people who were going to listen. He had some boundaries. And he says, I tried. I tried there. But they're not willing to talk about this and hear. So we need to have healthy boundaries in our lives as well. I mentioned this before, I believe. Maybe some of you remember, but I'll mention it again. Before, when we got married, we were young married. We had close friends, and they were also married, and we liked to hang around them a lot. But real quickly, we began to realize when we hung around with these friends, it wasn't good for our marriage because they fought all the time, and they were not nice to each other. They were short and snippy, and then it made us start feeling the same way. And so we started to realize, we like them, but we got to limit our time with them. And we did, and that was a good decision. We didn't write them off, and we didn't say, you're not our friends anymore, but we had to have some boundaries in our life too, for the sake of our marriage. So resolve, what relationships has been hurt or strained this year? Make it right. If it's not possible, go to the Lord and release your anger, hurt, or troubles to Him. When I say if it's not possible, you know, they may not be around, or they may have passed away, and you're still holding on to hurt or anger, and it's not the kind of thing that you can go to them about. But you can go to the Lord, you can tell Him all your troubles, and you can release it to Him. Say, Lord, I release my right to vengeance. I release my right to hang on to this anger, and I turn it over to You. Have a forgiving spirit. The second resolution I want to encourage you to have, though, tonight, let go of harmful actions. 1 Corinthians 6:12, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Paul here is talking about, as in the Christian life, the freedom that we have. Because our sin is covered, we are forgiven, we are not under the law. We're not under the law to save us. And so he has freedom. But he says, in my freedom, that doesn't mean that all things are good for me. And so there might be some things that you need to let go of in your life. And I would encourage you to do it this year. This covers two aspects. And I know there's different aspects that people categorize some sins. This is my words, for lack of a better theological terms, blatant and non-blatant sins. Blatant and non... What does blatant mean? What does blatant mean? Somebody tell me blatant. How would you describe it? No? Okay, on purpose, obvious, clear. Sarah? Oh, okay, I thought you had your hand up. Okay, let me give you some examples of blatant sin. Sexual immorality. It's blatant sin. Why? Because the Bible gives us plenty of warnings and tells us what God accepts and does not. Wrong relationships, unfaithfulness, lust, and even pornography. These are blatant sins because it's against God's design and God's commands. And He says this is not pleasing to Him. Blatant. If this is an action in your life, I would encourage you this year, by God's grace, say, Lord, I want to forsake my sin and follow and obey You. Blatant sins. Lying, if you've been lying and the Lord is